Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 62 of the Peer Geek Podcast. And as always, it's an absolute pleasure to be here. Now, these are my favorite episodes, without a doubt. The episodes where we actually get to speak with phys ed teachers from all over the globe, using tech, playing around with it in their classes. And today, I'm very happy to welcome Ryan Ellis to the show. How are you, Ryan?
I'm fantastic, Jared. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. So where are you joining us from? This morning for you, I think it is?
It is, yes. It's the morning. It is currently 7:05 a.m. I'm speaking from Harrogate in the North Yorkshire God's Own County in England.
Perfect. And you're currently, it's the weekend, obviously, for us at the moment, but during the week, you're involved in teaching. What sort of age groups do you work with?
Perfect. Yeah, I'm involved in teaching. So I'm a qualified primary school teacher, and I work with what we call reception age over here, which is kindergarten, and right through to year six. So it's up until 11 years of age.
Yeah. And what do you remember what sort of prompted you to go down that route of working with kids that age and actually even becoming a PE teacher?
I do remember very clearly. Well, my older brother, he's 5.5 years my senior. He's a secondary school PE teacher, and he's always been very sporty, and that brotherly relationship and competitiveness sort of sparked throughout my life. And I just wanted to follow in his footsteps, if you like. So that all started with me wanting to be a secondary phys ed teacher as well. I went over to the United States and coached football over there, or soccer. And I really enjoyed working with the younger children whilst over there, 6, 7, 8 years old. And it kind of, in my mind, changed my tact or career projection and made me decide to actually go down the primary or elementary route instead. So that was where the passion started.
For sure. So, I mean, I started in secondary school and then eventually ended up in some of the younger year levels, and I reckon it's quite powerful because you actually get to see the learning a little bit more clearly. Would you agree with those younger levels?
I think absolutely. I think it's it was that age group where you can just see on their faces. I think they've got a more of a passion for learning. Everything seems to excite them, and you can see some real big milestones that they achieve in everything that they do. And I'm talking right from when I was in the classroom and I was teaching maths, literacy lessons, science lessons, and to phys ed as well. And it's great when you can see that moment click, and you can see it on their faces and their passion. And they'll be the first to come up to you when they're that age and thank you and be smiling and tell you the story of how they get it all of a sudden. Yeah. So it's a really powerful age group to teach. I love it.
For sure. And no shortage of motivation, internal motivation and external motivation. I think both of those are quite relevant. And that actually leads into a topic that you presented at the Connected PE online conference. So you want to just touch on what that was all about?
Yes, well, I think, you know, intrinsic motivation is key to nurturing our children. And I know it's been said an awful lot, but, you know, children are born with that natural desire to explore and to find solutions to things. And I think through school, as children often get older, wanes, it starts to disappear for whatever reason, whether or not that's at the fault of the teachers or parents for using rewards, for example, which I've personally think can be a detriment to a child's motivation if not done correctly, but all about intrinsic motivation. How can we nurture that? How can we make sure that a child is self-determined to want to achieve and want to learn? So yes, as I spoke at the webinar, it was all about different ways in which we can involve things in our lessons which can help keep children intrinsically motivated to want to learn and do the best that they can. So the things that I touched upon there were having a sense of purpose for the children, sense of autonomy, and also a sense of mastery in your lessons.
Yeah, excellent stuff. So a question for you, what about technology? Do you think it can be a little bit of some sort of motivator for students, whether that be the initial hook to get them interested in an activity or something a bit deeper?
Absolutely. I think technology's got a solid place in education at the minute, and I think it will continue. I think the hook absolutely is there as well. It's something the children are using, obviously, outside of school an awful lot. So when it's brought into that educational setting, for many of them, that's very relevant. It's a piece of equipment
that
a lot of children have. It is. They're using it on a daily basis. So for them, it actually opens up a whole new world of possibilities. And many of the children are better than staff and teachers at using the device. And you'd be surprised at the work that they can produce if given the correct apps to use it on.
Correctly, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, it leads us into the, you know, a whole world of potential questions here right now. But, you know, you mentioned that you got started with technology in, what was it, a generalist classroom environment. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Tell us about that.
I started when I was first a newly qualified teacher, and I was alongside another newly qualified teacher. We were in side-by-side classrooms, and we both had a big passion for the use of technology. And it was fortunate that the school I taught in had quite a lot of iPads at their disposal, at least enough for one between two. So it started off for me using it in literacy and numeracy settings. So some apps in particular I used to use quite a lot were Explain Everything. If you've heard of Explain Everything.
Amazing.
I thought it was a phenomenal app for children to log and record their ideas, them to become the teacher. And I would frequently share the videos they made on Explain Everything on our class blog or to children lower down school to teach them how to add numbers for addition, etc. A truly wonderful app. Things such as the augmented reality apps and Aurasma and things like that we used to use for creative writing and for literacy. And that's what sort of filtered me down the route of realizing how important and how great the iPad and apps can be. I have to say the very first app that I used in a phys ed setting was actually Coach's Eye for the video recording, which I found to be a powerful medium to share with the children as well.
I'll tell you what, we've come a long way. I mean, I reflect on the video analysis of the past, and you probably, you know, have heard of Dartfish and tools of that nature, and having to have cameras and laptops and this, that, and the other to try and get that result. And I mean, now you can do it quite easily. And you mentioned with Explain Everything just how quick it is for a kid to show what they've known and sort of publish that to the world. It's really quite powerful to go from that consumer to creator sort of idea. And would, you know, I think kids really enjoy the opportunity to be able to show what they know.
I think they do. They loved it. They thought it was the coolest thing that they could create a video. They could use their finger on the screen to circle and highlight numbers and talk with their voice. And when they played it back, the look of wonder and amazement in their face that they'd actually made this video and a child lower down school could watch it and learn from them, you know, it really embedded their learning and it made them feel, you know, much better about themselves. And I think if anything, it gave them more motivation in their learning to want to continue and do more.
For sure. So, I mean, I always think back to this revised Bloom's taxonomy, you know, the classic pyramid with the different levels of, you know, in depth related to work. And right at the bottom, you've got that knowledge level, the very bottom tier. And right at the top, the revised one is create. And you know, the very idea of that, if you are creating, then you're going to have to know how to know things. You're going to have to be able to evaluate. You're going to have to be able to synthesize. And so this creation stuff is now really quite possible in classes. And I still think there's lots of teachers that don't quite grasp that as an issue. You know, you can make your kids creators of content now rather than just consumers. So have you ever had to battle any sort of issues around maybe dealing with other teachers or your own perceptions related to technology?
Well, yes, it's funny you say that. I mean, at the first school that I was teaching at, I think between myself and the NQT, we were huge advocates of using tech. But there was a lot of other members of staff who, you know, not to name names, were almost set in their ways, and they weren't open to trying out new ideas and new ways of learning. It was almost as if this is how we've done it. This is the way we're always going to do it. You know, the most dangerous words you could say in anything that you are possibly doing. You know, it's not the way we've always done it. Let's try something new. And I feel that it did hold myself and, you know, my teacher friend who was next door. It held us back, unfortunately. And we did have to battle that. That being said, we did continue using tech an awful lot. Not that everyone agreed with it. But I think sometimes you just know in your heart of hearts that you're onto something and it works and the children respond to it. And that was the sort of tack that I took. That's where I went with it. And that's why I continue using the tech. I think if you think it's going to benefit your children and you see it's going to benefit them, then, you know, go with that. You know your children better than somebody else.
Completely agree. I mean, the thing that really frustrates me, because that's not a rare situation to have, you know, some members of staff that maybe don't grasp it. And that's okay. I mean, everyone has different ways that they deliver their content, etc. But the thing that I hate in any of those situations is people just refusing to at least try and, you know, have a go exploring and using something new, because things are never the same, like you've pointed out. You know, there's the illusion that they are, but they're not. And we don't want to be static in anything that we do, because, I mean, we don't expect our students to do that, do we? Like, come into class, what you learn in year one, that's okay. You never need to know anything ever again. Imagine if we did that. Like, imagine if that was the norm.
Exactly.
But we've got teachers that do it.
Yeah, it's incredible. And for me, it's just, you know, put something out there. For me, it's just lazy teaching, using things that you've already done. It just saves work and time. But, you know, it's just doing a disservice to the children. So it's just lazy. I think you've got to move with the times and move with what's working, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And that mindset of just continual development is, whether it's with tech or not, I think is so powerful. Great to model as well. I mean, I don't confess to be an expert in all the tools that I've ever used with kids, but the willingness to try it, even, you know, and be a learner with them, I think is something that not as many teachers do as would be, you know, would be good. So, you know, you've mentioned.
I was going to just jump in there. Sorry.
Yeah, go.
Oh, sorry, Jared. I apologize for that. I was just really relevant point in terms of being a learner. When I, another app that we use when I was in the classroom teaching, which the children essentially taught me how to use, which was big a few years back, was Minecraft. Mm-hmm. Now, on Minecraft, we had the children in the lesson building Viking longboats using the Minecraft app, and then we would, in our literacy session, write instructions about how to build it. Now, I had no idea how to use this app. I never used Minecraft in my life, but, you know, we still went for it, and if anything, I was learning from the children in that session as well. So it goes both ways, and the children felt good about that they could show me how something works.
Completely agree. I mean, it's, and then again, leads back to that intrinsic motivation thing, doesn't it? Like, it's,
yes,
it will empower them to want to go on and focus that attention in other areas. So I think it's absolutely worth pursuing. So we've mentioned some of the really positive things that happen when you use tech, and I think they're abundant. But have you ever had any situations where maybe things haven't worked quite as you'd expected, or things of that nature?
Yes, I mean, I have to say the first couple of months of me trying to use the tech and the iPads, it was a bumpy road, to say the least. I just thought, you know what, teacher, a bit naive, if you like. I went in and said, we're going to use the iPads, starting in the classroom and even in the PE setting. And as you can imagine, without any ground rules as such in place and expectations, which I didn't know at the time I had to or should have set, before you know it, the children were off task. They had jumped onto a different app that they shouldn't be on when I wasn't watching. They weren't using it for a learning purpose. And it was a rude awakening to me that actually it got me questioning, is this the right way to go?
Yeah.
All it made me do is reflect on how I set the children away, how I had the expectations set for them. And as I moved forward in time, we came to a happy medium where the children knew what they had to do when they were given an iPad to use for a learning purpose. But the first couple of months, like I said, it was a bumpy road, and I didn't realize the children would be so cheeky as to use them for whatever they wanted.
They're quite curious, aren't they? Like, you give them a tool, and especially when they've got a familiarity with it, like in their own home environment, you can see why they can head off in a billion different directions.
Exactly.
For sure. So, but... Mm. It's a really positive quality that, you know, you can reflect on that and take ownership over the fact that the next time you did it, you'd do it differently and not just completely abandon ever using it. You know, I can imagine that if I had done just abandoned using certain tools, and lots of things in my practice that I really enjoy now probably wouldn't exist. And, you know, I was the same using tech the first time. Like, what's going on here? I mean, I've maybe not got the result that I was after. I've wasted a bit of time, but it's through that reflection where the magic happens. And, you know, I really value that as a process. And that's actually how the PE Geek website started. I mean, a lot of people don't know, but it was a reflection site purely for me. And over time became useful for others. But yeah, I mean, that's how you grow, isn't it? Reflection.
Exactly. It's the obviously the whole analogy of failures, you know, first attempts in learning, whatever you want to call it, famous failures. You know, if they'd given up after the first time they'd done something, then they wouldn't be where they are today. I often share some of those stories with my children, whether it's, you know, Michael Jordan talking about missing his shots, whether it's J.K. Rowling, who takes her book to be published and gets told it isn't good enough, which obviously, of course, we now know Harry Potter's done very well. So, you know, all these famous failures, if you give up after the first try, then you're not going to sort of uncover the golden nuggets which lie ahead if you keep persisting with it.
For sure. No, I couldn't agree more. So you mentioned a couple of tools and so on that you've used. Are there any others that you're quite fond of over the years?
In terms of being a teacher, one which I found very useful back at the beginning was Evernote, just for teaching reasons in terms of storing planning, in terms of annotating planning, attaching photos, audio notes. I found Evernote, you know, very, very useful across the board there.
It's
I thought
like
it was fantastic.
Your brain online, isn't it?
It is. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal tool. And I started to filter that down through school and get other teachers to use it too when they saw the power of it. It really is incredible. I couldn't have lived without it. Like I said before, Phys Ed, I started off, it was mainly with Coach's Eye, using that for a purpose of filming bits of, I would say, team games. Mm-hmm. And I used to take it back into the classroom, hook it up to the smart board, and we'd watch it back. We'd look at the positions and the shapes of the children, how we're making small triangles for passes. We used to do a bit of an analysis and a breakdown of where we were. So it was very useful for that, which was superb. And one which has become more prevalent for me recently, which I only discovered, it wasn't so long ago actually, which is a video app. Mm-hmm. Which can make very cool, quick videos, and it's called Splice, mm-hmm. S-P-L-I-C-E.
Yeah.
And it's sort of in collaboration with GoPro, but it's a great tool which I've been using to do almost quick lesson or block summaries and making videos to go alongside that, which I can then send to other relevant staff or show the children how far we've come in our learning.
Yeah.
And it's a great tool for the children to watch back, see things that they've remembered, share with parents and also with the other teachers in school.
I love the power of video. I mean, it's so versatile. You know, my very first memory of video and its power was as a student learner as well. And seeing myself do something for the first time, and that was so motivational. Like I didn't even look at it from an analysis perspective or performance, etc. It was just the fact that I was seeing myself do something. And yeah. I tell you what, I went out and kept doing that. And I was training for long jump and triple jump, which is the first thing I ever saw. And you can imagine how much more effort I put into it just because I'd seen it. So a lot of time people discount maybe that, you know, it might take time to do these things. But if that's the only thing you get, if you ever got from watching yourself, I think that's worth pursuing. So I think, yeah, we're on the same page with video for sure.
Absolutely. You, like I said before, you learn so much, don't you, from watching yourself. And I had a rude awakening my first time. I wasn't even using an app, but one of my friends videoed me when I was out on the golf course. And little to my knowledge, I didn't know he was videoing me. And when I watched my shot back and watched my golf swing, to say I was alarmed would be an understatement. It was awful. So ever since then, I've been very determined to improve my golfing standards, Jared.
Oh, man, that sounds exactly like a golf experience. I was on the opposite side, though, filming some of my friends. And they were the same. Like, they'd never seen themselves, you know, playing. And I'm like, you are lifting your head. This is clearly showing you that you're doing that. So, I mean, they can tell us a story that maybe we you know, we couldn't see earlier. So there's some amazing reasons why tech, you know, has been part of my practice and as well as yours.
Yeah.
But you've gone on to start creating a podcast of your own, and, you know, it's gone on to be really quite successful. What's the podcast and what sort of led you down that path?
Yeah, so it's the PE umbrella and, you know, podcasting, blogging, primary and elementary PE. And, you know, what led me down that path is listening to podcasts first and foremost, obviously your own website and your podcast. And I used to listen to a lot of business podcasts, Entrepreneur on Fire, Pat Flynn's Smart Passive Income, things like that. And on EO Fire, which is John Lee Dumas, I think, hosts it, he used to talk about a free podcast course and about niching down into something which is, you know, very relevant to you. And it just got me thinking one summer. I thought, you know what, I don't know of any specific primary slash elementary phys ed podcasts, which is maybe about the resources, reflections and interviews, which obviously EO Fire is an interview based podcast. Mm-hmm. Why not do it? I thought I'll research into it. I'll sign up for the free podcast course to see how you make it. And I just made it my own personal goal and mission to produce and release one on a weekly basis there, just to share with others. And you're right, it's gone well. It's gaining traction and momentum, and I thoroughly enjoy doing it. It's absolutely wonderful.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, the whole process of podcasting is just on the up and up too. So these shows like yours and mine, et cetera, that are niche can exist. Like, it's, we have a place to do that now. So, I mean, there's absolutely probably people here listening to the show, and they've got an interest in a particular area, whether it's PE or it's another hobby that you've got. It's not hard to do it these days. I mean, you can do it with a microphone on your computer, simple as that, and host it for free. And because of just the sheer low volume in podcasts, you can have people listening to them really quite quickly. So, I mean, I love the platform. I think they're tremendous. And I just love how that you can be on the go and learning as well. So, I mean, is that how you tend to consume yours?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's always when I'm in my car driving around predominantly. So I drive from school to school on a daily basis. And whilst I'm in the car for 15 minutes, instead of just putting on music, I'll think, well, I'll take 15 minutes to perhaps learn something new. So I'll stick on a podcast, mm-hmm. perhaps learn something I can take into the rest of the day, or I'll jot it down and make a note for it for later. And always be learning on the go. And I found it invaluable. It is a wonderful, wonderful medium. And I have to say, I've learned so much about whether it be phys ed, whether it be about business or life and mindset through listening to podcasts. I just think they're tremendous.
Yeah, for sure. I couldn't agree more. I'm such a big fan. Do you listen to them on the 1.5x as well?
Well, at the moment, no. Do you know what? I, one thing I'm very slow down in doing, I don't. I keep them at regular speed, and I don't know why I do that, because a lot of friends of mine do make it a little bit quicker to consume them faster. But I'm very old school, and I like to listen and absorb every single word at regular speed at the moment. But perhaps I'll try that.
It's worth it. I mean, I was the same. I used to put it on at 1.5x and listen to it and think, I can't follow what's happening here, but slowly train myself over a period of time, and now when I go back and listen to them slower, I'm like, what is happening? So if you're listening to this podcast and we've gone for about 20 minutes so far, you could be listening to this much faster if you switch it to 1.25 or 1.5x, and you'll be able to get some of that valuable time back. So I recommend trying it out. Yeah. Thank you for jumping onto today's episode. Where can we find out more about the things that you're up to?
Well, if you head on over to peumbrella.com, that's where I have an almighty list of all of my podcasts that I've released thus far, mm-hmm. show notes in there, links to all the previous ones. Obviously, find the PE Umbrella on iTunes. If you head on over to Twitter, I'm on there too, which is at Ryan Sporting. I'm quite regular on Twitter, posting on there and trying to discuss with others too. And also, I work in day-to-day for Sporting Influence. If you head over to sportinginfluence.com, you'll see all the good things that we're doing with phys ed in and around Harrogate in England as well.
Perfect. Absolutely love it. So as always, absolute pleasure to have you listening to the podcast today. If you've got any questions, then you know where to fire them away to. Otherwise, head along to thepeergeek.com/62 for episode 62, and you can find all the links mentioned in today's episode, as well as a word-for-word transcript. So look forward to speaking with you next time. And thanks again, Ryan, for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jared. Appreciate it.
See ya.